This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a Saturday edition of the program with Logan Armblaster behind the glass, taking your calls at 412-928-9370. Bob Pompeiani with you the next couple of hours until we get up to the Orioles and Pirates coming up at 1 o'clock. And before too long, the regular season will be underway. And with that in mind, Paul Skeens was named opening day starter. It's his first time that he's obviously had that distinction because last year he was in the minors until they brought him up, and when they did, he was, to me, the best pitcher in baseball season long. Should have been a Cy Young winner. He did win the Rookie of the Year, but man, the expectations are high for a 22-year-old. We welcome you in. Want to hear your reactions to just about everything going on in Pittsburgh sports. But first, I want to remind you, the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. And thank you to our sponsors, PNC Bank, Number One Cochran, Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, and Nine Yards Golf Lounge down in Washington. We're having a big St. Patrick's Day tournament today. So if you're in that area, stop in and check it out. If you like simulated golf, there's some great stuff down there. And I always like that, especially now it looks like it's going to rain outside here, Logan. We've had a great stretch of weather, right? I mean, it's been like, I don't know how many days, 8 days in a row. It's been beautiful. Sooner or later, that was going to come to an end, and it may be sooner today than later.
Yeah, I mean, I go to Waynesburg, and there's been rain nonstop. It feels like I didn't think that the winter was ever going to come to an end, but it's nice to finally get the clouds out of the way and the sun's back. It has been like 8 days or something in a row, it feels like.
And it provides some optimism in what was kind of a dreary last couple of months. And as we begin today, I wonder what your level of optimism is about the Pirates. I know that they haven't done anything in the offseason to make you think that they should be a team that could compete. But with the starting pitching they have, I said before and I'll say it again, I think they're going to be in just about every game. I saw Bubba Chandler yesterday dial it up to about 100 miles an hour and four strikeouts and two perfect innings. And the significant thing about that is that, you know, he could very well follow the script that Paul Skeens had last year, and that a few weeks into this, he may be coming up. I don't know if that's in their plans. Maybe it should be. But he, you know, faced four of the top 10 Phillies ranked prospects, and I think it was Aiden Miller, Justin Crawford, a couple of other guys who are in their top 10, and he made them look silly. And he's 22 years old also. Jared Jones, those three guys, throw in Mitch Keller and, you know, whoever else, Bailey Falter, Heaney, who they just picked up, who hasn't looked good. But they have some potential in their starting rotation, no question about that. And they're going to need some hitting. Where does it come from? That is the biggest thing. 412-928-9370. Another thing that's been going on is that Pitt, for the second year in a row, has declined postseason opportunities. I see that Andrew Filipponi put out a post from last year, but it applies to this year as well. Tom Crean is anti-declining postseason opportunities, regardless of where they are. Just because you have an opportunity to play some guys who may want to continue to play, you learn a little bit more from that. It doesn't stop you from going out and recruiting. It doesn't stop you from going out and getting NIL deals done and all that stuff, the transfer portal. It does give an opportunity for some guys who are going to be on your roster to continue to play. How important is that for you? But Pitt has decided, and they did it last year, and they had a better record last year, to decline the NIT, and they did it again this year. Would you keep playing? If for no other reason, just those players. It doesn't have to satisfy fans, but just for the players to have an opportunity. Or do you think it's fine just to say, no, we're done, fell apart at the end of the year, we're not going to keep going. Roster's going to change, no question, but there will be some carryovers, and those players may want to play, and you might get a better evaluation of them. Also, Alex Ovechkin, I thought this was an interesting topic as the week went on. You know, he's all the way down to 9 goals removed from Wayne Gretzky's record. And if you look at the schedule, the last game of the year is at Pittsburgh at PPG Paints Arena against the Penguins. He may very well get it the way he's going before it ever comes to that. But let's say he doesn't. How do you feel about Alex O scoring that Gretzky all-time NHL goal scoring leadership in Pittsburgh against the Penguins? The other night he had an opportunity to get an easy one, an empty net goal, and he passed it up so that one of his teammates who's never had a hat trick in the NHL could get one, which is a good sign of a captain of that team, and that team's playing well. But it's a tremendous accomplishment. I'm sure they want to get it done as soon as possible, but what if it lingers into the final game of the year and the Penguins are the team that is either going to be in a position to be in the history books or deny him a chance to break Wayne Gretzky's record? 412-928-9370. We'll talk about that as we go. The Penguins play the Devils, by the way, today at 3:08. And the Penguins have won 3 in a row, and it has rejuvenated Tristan Jarry, who's been terrific, really, in the last 3 games, all wins. And I wonder what it means for you as a fan to watch Tristan Jarry return. Are you hopeful that this is something that he can bottle and bring into next year? Or do you think they will just utilize this potentially to get an opportunity to move him, save the money, and then defer to some of the guys they have in their organization? It's a tough call because those guys in the organization may be a couple of years from really blossoming into the players you want them to be at 412-928-9370. And then, of course, there's the interesting topic of the Steelers, which never goes away, as they continue to wait for Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers is, I'm sure, soaking this all up, it seems. I mean, he could make a decision anytime he wants to. It could well be that he is waiting for the Minnesota Vikings to enter the conversation. Apparently, both the Steelers and the Giants have made offers to him, and he is waiting for maybe Minnesota. And actually, if you're going to look at a team that has a chance to win of the three mentioned, the Vikings are that team. Not only did they have a 14-3 record last year, but they're, you know, they have loaded up in this offseason. They have added 2 very good offensive linemen. That was a problem as the season went on, and Sam Darnold got sacked a lot because of it. It didn't diminish Darnold's value as he ends up signing with the Seattle Seahawks, but it made it difficult for them to win those very difficult games at the end of the year. But they still went 14-3. So they added to their offensive line, which a problem. They also added to their defensive line in the acquisitions of Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave in free agency. So Brian Flores has a defense that was really good. They also, I think, signed their one of their top interceptors, Brian Murphy, who had a couple interceptions, like 9 or 10 over the last couple of years. But Minnesota is loaded. And I'm not suggesting that Rodgers would go there thinking he's going to start, or maybe they do. You know, J.J. McCarthy is their guy. They let Darnold go because they believe in J.J. McCarthy. But if Rodgers is expecting to start there, that may be a little bit much for Minnesota. I don't know if he's content with going there and waiting for either the young quarterback to have problems or whatever. But if he wants to go to Minnesota, I'm curious their interest. So far, we haven't seen it, although Diane Rossini and the PM team yesterday said that Minnesota has an interest. How significant is that interest? 412-928-9370. So Minnesota's been a big winner in the offseason. I think the Chicago Bears have done a great job, too. Ben Johnson comes in as their new head coach, and he's immediately attacked their biggest problem, which was their offensive line, and they have overhauled it. They believe in Caleb Williams. We'll see what happens there. The Steelers have added some players, of course, some older players too, 34-year-old Darius Slay. I like the running back, Kenneth Gainwell, although he is a duplicate of Jaylen Warren in the role, so I don't believe the Steelers are going to ignore running back in the draft. But eventually they're going to draft a quarterback. I was of the belief it would be next year when the draft came to Pittsburgh, and what a big event that will be here in Pittsburgh for four straight days, the money it raises for the economy here in Pittsburgh, plus just the notoriety. And who knows, maybe it'll be Ben Roethlisberger standing at the podium announcing a pick for a quarterback, because sooner or later they have to do this. They have gone through 3 years now of trying to, you know, put this together with a quarterback rotation that hasn't worked. Two straight years are going to revamp the entire room. That is not something you want to do on a regular basis. 412-928-9370. The ACC tournament's moving along without Pitt. Number one, Duke will play number two, Louisville, tonight. Duke, even without Cooper Flagg, is still capable of doing some damage, and they did last night. They had a big lead over North Carolina, but North Carolina came back, cut it to one. Duke ended up winning that game. And one other note I want to throw out, because you know I tend to appreciate some of the talent I see in the NBA. Cleveland Cavaliers won a 16th straight game last night. They've had multiple streaks this year, very long streaks. They're on pace to win 70-plus games. Normally, teams that do that go to the finals and, in most cases, win the finals. Same you can say about Oklahoma City. It could be those two teams in the finals in the NBA, which would be rather refreshing, I think. At 412-928-9370. So that's the table setting for you. Let's go out to Woody on line one, who's our first caller today. Hello, Woody. How are you? Oh, Woody just dropped. Okay. Well, how about Michelle in Brentwood? Michelle, are you still on?
Yes. Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So, really frustrated about the Steelers. We just look so – it's such an embarrassment. And the one thing, this all just goes back to Mike Tomlin. I was thinking about it the other day. I'm going to say Mike Tomlin is like the Wizard of Oz. Everybody says he's wonderful. He's great and powerful. They're a little bit afraid of him. And then at the end of the movie, they find out he's a charlatan. He's a total fake. So at this point, he can't coach. He can't discipline. He can't hire people for the team, you know, like other coaches. And obviously something went terribly wrong with this draft situation. And then
it's not just draft. You're talking about free agency situation, right?
I mean, yes.
Okay.
Yes. You have mentioned before that other teams have bigger coaching staff. The reason we don't, do you think it's because Tomlin says we don't need it, or because Mr. Rooney doesn't want to pay the money for it, or both?
I don't, and thanks, Michelle, for the call. You're echoing what a lot of people have said. I don't think it has anything to do with whether or not they want to pay it. I just think they have, that's how they want to do business over there. So whether that's right or wrong, in a lot of cases, it is a smallest coaching staff when you look. But if you know, I've said before, too, I agree with the assessment that, you know, guys with bigger resumes need to come here as assistant coaches, whether that's coordinators or position coaches as well. You don't see a lot of that change. The one thing Mike did at the end of the season was say there was going to be multiple changes on many levels. We really haven't seen many levels. As far as the quarterback situation, it's become, again, a situation that doesn't at all not look like Indianapolis. It's a duplicate situation. When they found out that Andrew Luck was going to retire because of all of his injuries, kind of a stunning situation, it caught him off guard, I guess. And so ever since then, they have been looking for the quarterback. It is something that you just don't want to do year after year. And they thought they had a couple of Band-Aid situations when they brought in Trubisky, and then Kenny Pickett became available to them at 22, and for whatever reason, and I believe it was Mike Tomlin more than anyone who wanted him. He saw him over there every day, talked to him every day, but he wanted to draft it. And if you don't hit those picks, then you have more problems, and then you have to eventually redraft or continue to bring in guys. And that's what we saw last year. It's a bad precedent because it has to end at some point. I really felt, and I said this, Michelle, earlier, that I thought the easiest way out that this year was to sign Fields 2 years, give him whatever money. You still have money to sign. And listen, they're not cheap about paying people. They just gave Metcalf $150 million. They're going to pay money to people they want, and T.J. Watt will be the next one in line. You could debate that all you want. But, you know, in a quarterback, you got to make it happen in the draft. You just do. But I thought Fields would be it. They draft their guy either this or next year, preferably next. And then you go from there, and you better hit it. Because if you don't hit it, you continue to do. Indianapolis went from veteran to veteran to veteran, whether it's Rivers to Ryan to Flacco to Brissett to Minshew. And then they decided to draft their quarterback in Richardson, and he has not been what they expected him to be. So now they're continuing to do this over and over again. And it is a tough, slippery slope. You have to hit on these things, and if you don't, this is where you end up. And so that's why it's important right now to figure it out in the next year or two. Aaron Rodgers notwithstanding, if he does sign here, it's going to be just for this year. And you know, if they protect him, which is a big if, he still can be somewhat effective in that pocket, I believe, but he can't run, and he goes exactly against what Mike has always said he wants, which is quarterback mobility. Mason Rudolph, however, comes into the scene, and I'm glad to see him back. Real stand-up guy, and I like Mason. I really think maybe their best quarterback play over the last several years has been in that three-game stretch where they had to win those games, and he was the quarterback. And even in the Buffalo game, yeah, he threw an interception in that game, but that was a playoff game that I thought was probably the closest of all the playoff losses they've had over the last 8 years. So say what you want. You may have doubts about Mason Rudolph. If he ends up being the starter, okay, let's see what happens. They're in a position right now where they have to figure this out. And, you know, he'll be here beyond 1 year, unlike Rodgers or Wilson if it ends up being him. So these are all situations that have to unfold. It will be interesting to see how they handle it. Bill joins us right now in Hempfield on line one. What's up, Bill? How are you today?
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get a hold of you guys when on your 10:30 show at night. And it's been busy.
Yeah, we get a lot of calls, and we need to have more phone lines available, apparently. So take care of you, Bill, but keep trying. We'll get you on there.
The point I was wanting to make, I wanted to ask you guys if you watched the combines at all.
I watch it, but not in depth, not like people who are really into that stuff.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Don't be surprised if Jackson Dart doesn't go first on the first quarter. That guy, I'm telling you, if the Steelers,
this is music to Joe Starkey's ears. He is perked up about Jackson Dart. He wants him.
I got excited when I heard Joe talking about it. Yeah, but I watched him, and he was flawless in that. And he has the strong arm. He can run. He can do everything. And I think the Steelers should trade up and get him. He could be the franchise quarterback that they need.
Well, you could be right, Bill. I mean, quarterbacks are hard to assess. Thanks for the call. I think if you look at potential, you'll see it on display in the combine because it is just throwing the ball with no pressure whatsoever. You got to be on target. Yeah, all the skills are there. There's no question about that. But if you look at the decision-making in the last couple of games he played, there were some questions about his decision-making. Is he capable of coming into the NFL and being a franchise quarterback? I believe so. I believe a lot of these guys are, at least potentially. But then it's a big step up here. It's a big step when you're facing all the best defensive players you're going to find. Normally in college, you can find a weakness or two and attack it. In the NFL, there aren't many of those, and they come after you. And you better be quick on your feet. He does have the ability to run. That fits into what the Steelers like, so I wouldn't be surprised. Now, if you have to move up to get it this year, you know, next year would be better suited with all the compensatory picks they're going to get. So I don't know if they'd make that move. Would he fall to them? And let's say he does go above. I don't think he'll go above Cam Ward, but if he does, and Shedeur Sanders, if one of those guys falls down, I don't think it'll happen. They'll be in a position to take him at 21. They may have to trade up. I don't know. I don't see a scenario this year where they'll begin trading up. 412-928-9370. Tony in Swissvale is next tonight. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Good. You, Bob?
Fine, thank you.
Well. And touch on Mason, I think he's going to be okay. I think he only started like 28 games. I think he's like 14-14. But like, I have like take seven of them games away, like when he wasn't prepared or anything. So I don't really count them as losses. I think he's going to be good. Maybe not the best, but I think it's good for this year, and I don't want to waste no money on Rodgers. He's playing a game, and I don't want to play that game with him.
Yeah, I never thought they'd get involved in that game, Tony. I thought that that was something that was just it's almost like a desperation tactic, and I don't like that part of it. And, you know, he is what he is. I still think, as I said, give him protection, he can make throws. He showed it last year with the Jets even. But he's coming off 2 years removed from the Achilles. Thank you for the call, Tony. I don't know if you're in an airport. It sounds like you're in an airport or something. The bottom line is, you know, I don't know why they don't have a deadline for him. I would have a deadline. I'd say, you know, we need to know by this date. It's already been 6 days and counting. And now if he's waiting for Minnesota, that could be another long period of time waiting. So it just it's a situation I didn't see the Steelers falling into. But hopefully, whatever happens, they'll just go into this year and then address this quarterback situation in the draft. It has to be done through the draft this year or next, and preferably next, in my view. I think that's an interesting scenario where you could have a draft in Pittsburgh and take the next future franchise quarterback, perhaps. Jake in Sacramento, California is up right now. Hey, Jake, how you doing?
This is Nick, Bob. It's okay.
Oh, sorry about that. Nick, it says Jake on my screen. Sorry.
Oh, no worries. I always talk to you. I listen every day. I love everything that you guys all do, the media, everything. I'm a Pittsburgh native, but why is it that I keep hearing, and forgive me, I just want to know this question and I have one more after it. Mm-hmm. Well, we can look forward to, you know, this year, wherever we end up with. If we don't get Rodgers, okay, great. But, you know, we have the draft in Pittsburgh next year, and next year's draft class. I get it. It's a better draft class. Why does it matter that it's in Pittsburgh? Is this like the show and pony show? I mean, what are they trying to?
No, it's never happened here before. I just think it would be a great setting, and you talk about interest being high, and if it just so happens, I mean, it's nothing more than that. I'm not trying to make that out to be other than I'm looking forward to see a draft come here only because I've watched it grow into what it's grown into, and I think it also has just big time bonuses for the city of Pittsburgh itself. And that the business it brings, I know a lot of people in the service industry are excited about it, that kind of stuff. I'm not – whether or not he's taken year or next, it doesn't matter. I think the scenario would be interesting if the quarterback was taken next year.
I wasn't pointing at you or anybody on the staff. I just keep hearing it a lot of different ways. They're talking about it in ESPN and all those other big networks. I just keep hearing that, and I just don't want to hear like, well, we just have a season if we tank. I'm not saying we're going to tank, but – the Steelers don't tank seasons. I mean, I just don't ever see that.
No, and the fact that they just gave Metcalf $150 million suggests that they're
exactly.
But that's also a multi-year deal. They're looking for that to be in. And when you get a weapon like that, who still is only 27, you know, I mean,
right.
Listen, if you have two guys, let's say Pickens stays here. Let's say he's here this year. And let's say he's a good soldier, gets out there and does his thing and knows that next year would be it for him. Or this year, and then he'll go into free agency. If you have two guys who can stretch the field and go deep, it takes defenders with them. And this is why I like Justin Fields as my first option, because he can then exploit a lot of that. There are going to be openings out there with his legs. I understand the criticism of his passing, but I think it could get better. But I think with those two guys that on the field, any quarterback who's in, if he gets protection, goes deep, and I still think Aaron Rodgers can make that throw, and I know that Wilson can make that throw, whoever it ends up being. That's a big advantage to have, to stretch the defense a little bit.
Right.
Makes it better on your run game, too.
So lastly, and I appreciate your time talking about this stuff, Scadabo, what do you think of him? I'm going to ask you about running back. Scadabo, you got Genty on the board, and then the kid from I think it's Ohio State, right? What's his name? Is it Junkins? So I'm just wondering, if you looked at all those running backs and you're taking a running back in the, let's just say, which I don't think they'll do, the first round, the Steelers, I think we need a D lineman more than anything right now. Or if we can get a second round pick back with all the stuff we got, we lost that second round pick.
Yeah, the second round pick's a big loss, but they got Metcalf. Yeah. You know, I like both those guys you mentioned first. I think Genty's but I'm not going to go a first rounder on. I'm just not. If they do that, you know, they did it before. Whether or not this guy is the kind of, you know, is he Ashton Gibbs? Is he Bijan Robinson? Is he any of these guys that you see? Barkley? Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. I still wouldn't go first round. They need help on defensive line first and foremost. And with no second round pick, if they don't take that defensive lineman in the first round, you know, when are they going to get a chance at a decent one? If you wait until the third, you may get a guy. I don't know how good or bad he's going to be.
Okay. And then lastly, Connor Hayward, okay, I love the Haywards, nothing against his brother. Anyway, I was really hoping the Steelers were going to get Justin Jurcik from 49ers, but they re-signed him this morning. Yeah. I just thought he would be a really good fit in our offense and the way they run things and do things. And like I said, nothing against Hayward. I know he's a great player as well. But I just this whole – I'll leave it with this. It's frustrating. I wake up every day with a headache. I'm 54 years old. I love listening to all the stuff, and I'm just waiting. I'm not anticipating them signing Rodgers, like you said. I mean, like people were saying, I think we're going to go a different direction. I mean, who knows what? I think it just might be Mason. I don't know. I just want to see next year how it's going to fold out. But if they got Pickett in our division, you're playing the Jets next year. Who's going to have the better record of quarterback? If it works out, we just have to deal with whether it's a Mason or whoever. I want to know what the brass is going to think after they see how these other quarterbacks pan out in their schedule. I'm going to leave it at that, Bob. And
all right,
hope
Nick,
you
thanks.
And your family are well, and God bless.
Thank you. You too. I appreciate that call. 412-928-9370. I just, we'll find out how that goes. As far as running backs, I've heard that before. I would not take a running back in the first round. As talented as they are, and I know they need one, but they still need help defensively on the line. And I'm not going to overlook that right now. I think you could find those running backs. Most people agree with that assessment. It's not always the case. If you get a Christian McCaffrey opportunity in the first round, is one of those guys capable of doing that? I don't know. I watch him play. I have a lot of respect. I watched Ashton Jeanty against Penn State. It took him a while to get his numbers. He ended up getting numbers, but Penn State did a pretty good job with him, I think. So the bottom line is they have a lot of needs. They don't have a second-round pick, and I'm okay with that. They got Metcalf. That's a big-time playmaker, and they say they need big-time playmakers. He's a big-time playmaker, so we're not going to get him. But the biggest position of all is quarterback, and it still remains unsolved. And you're getting to the point where you need to do it, and you're running potentially out of options. 412-928-9370 is the number called. Take a break. We have Frank, Bernie, Seth, Joe. We're also going to talk about some golf here, and I want to bring it up only because of this Sawgrass course and how demanding it is. And yesterday, and just for all you guys who are going out there now and playing golf, and you get frustrated with how one day could be so good and so bad, all you have to do is look at Justin Thomas to understand that. He shot 78 in the first round. Most people thought he wasn't going to make the cut. Next day, he should have shot 61. He went to 18 with a chance, with needing a par to shoot 61, which is a new course record. And he ended up bogeying that hole, hit one in the water, but still 62. He goes from 78 to 62, 11 birdies. And I mean, on that level, it happens. On any level, it can happen. If you're going to shoot 100 one day, you may shoot 88 the next. So keep on keeping on. We're going to take a break. It's the Bob Pompiani Show on a cloudy Saturday in Pittsburgh, right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back, and it looks like there's rain starting to fall, and there's some thunder and lightning out there, which is a little surprising. But that's what happens when you get up there in the 70s and a little correction going on. And, of course, it happens on the weekends, and hopefully the St. Patrick's Day Parade down in Pittsburgh will not be impacted, although with thunder and lightning, I think they have to make necessary calls on protection for people. So I'm not sure how that's going to work, but hopefully that'll be out of here in an hour or so. Anyway, 412-928-9370. Thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day and check out their virtual wallet at PNC.com. Also, number one Cochrane, ride in style. So many locations all throughout Western Pennsylvania. It's number one Cochrane. Go one better there. As well as Senderovich, Senderovich and Fishman, where they got your back, not your wallet. And Nine Yards Golf Lounge in Washington, and soon to be coming in Ross Township, a great indoor golf facility. 412-928-9370, back to the lines. They are busy, beginning with Bernie on line 2. What's up, Bernie? How are you? Bernie, are you there? Okay. I don't know. What happened to your line, Bernie? I'm not sure. We'll move along to Frank in line 1. What's up, Frank?
How you doing, Bob?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm not a fan of Mason for a starter, but he's a good backup. What's anything about Kirk Cousins? Is he available or what?
Well, I mean, if you're going to do that, you got to make a deal. He signed a long-term deal, 4 years with Atlanta, and that calf injury that he had was, I think, flared up to the point he was bad at the end of the year. I mean, there's no question about that. Again, you're dealing with older quarterbacks who you're not sure what you're going to get. I think he had one touchdown and 9 interceptions over his last several games. He would be cheaper if you're going to do it, but I'm not going in there. I mean, I'd rather, if that's the case, start Mason, bring in somebody else, and then, you know, reassess it either in this year's draft or next year's draft. I don't know what else you can do. If you draft someone in the first round especially, that person would probably be looked at as eventual starter maybe this year. So there's a lot yet to be determined here, but I'm with you when it comes to some of these older guys. I'm just not interested so much, you know, because I've watched their careers. Rodgers is a Hall of Famer, 4-time NFL MVP. He still can do it if he gets a protected pocket, but he's a sitting duck in the middle of the pocket. He can't run like he used to, and he's coming off the same sort of surgery that that put Cousins in that boat. So hopefully we'll get an answer here soon and move on past this, because there are still other areas that they need to improve their team. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.
Hey, one more. Hey, did we give up a number 2 for Metcalf, right?
Yes.
Number 2. Okay.
Yeah, to me, that's necessary to do, because you needed somebody like that to come in, especially knowing that Pickens is on 1 year left on this deal. Now, Bernie's back. Let's give him a second try over there on line number 7. Hello, Bernie.
Hey,
how are
you? Hey, Bob. How you doing, buddy?
All right. What's up?
Hey, real quick. There's a little rumors out there, and obviously there's always rumors, that Dallas is looking at Pickens. So I was thinking, if that's the case, maybe they can swap number 1s, and then Pittsburgh could get a number 2. What do you think?
Swap number 1s to get a number. I mean, first of all, I agree with what you said about rumors. There's all kinds of speculation. I don't even know with AI out there how much is real anymore. It's really difficult to tell. Dallas, though, has not done much, and they need weapons. You know, CeeDee Lamb is their big guy, but if you got him, gave him a new deal, that would be a good 1-2 punch. For a second-round pick, I think that's probably swapping 1s and a 2. Maybe it's swapping ones in a three. They need a two, though. If they could somehow get one for this draft, I think it would be helpful to them.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, if that would happen, then according to, you know, with Joe, your buddy, he thinks that Jackson Dart would be the guy. So that obviously that could maybe be a potential for them to get him. That's what I was thinking.
That, I mean, potentially that could be true. I mean, if you move into that position, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But it's, you know, Jackson Dart, I've seen mixed comments about him. He is moving up, no question about it. He has talent, yes. Decision making, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but that's part of being a young guy and moving into the pros. But as many people like him, as many people don't want him, and they look at him as a mid third, fourth round draft pick. So it's risky with quarterbacks, but you definitely have to fix the problem. You got to figure it out. Thanks, Bernie. Glad you called back. Appreciate that. Let's go out to Seth in Long Island. Seth joins us right now on the Fan Hotline.
Hey, Bob, how are you, man?
What's up?
Hey, it's all good. I appreciate you taking the call.
Sure.
You know, I think there was a couple months back on the Pop and Joe show, I had called in, spoke to you, and, you know, you were of the mindset like I was where, man, Fields should have never been, you know, let go. I mean, it's just incredible to me how they mangled that entire situation. I personally believe, Bob, that he maybe they lowballed him on purpose because they didn't want him back. I don't know what the story is. But I think he had an innate distrust of the situation there. All they had to do was tell him, hey, you're the starter. You're our guy for the next year. Pay him, you know, $30, $40 million, you know, guaranteed, whatever the Jets gave him. I mean, look, I live in Long Island, man. I live 40 miles away from the Meadowlands, and I get to watch. I mean, that's why I have YouTube TV so I can watch the Steelers. I can't watch the Jets and Giants. That's like a pain. That's like a painful, slow death. You know what I mean? So I've been a Steelers fan for 40-plus years, man, and I got to tell you, you know, watching Rodgers every week, you know, when I had the opportunity, it was painful. It was painful. And I know he had some pieces missing. I'd rather see him go to the Giants and stick it to the Jets. So that would be interesting. But I have to tell you, whenever the Steelers are playing the Jets in the Meadowlands this year, Bob, and I am going to be rooting for Fields big time because I think he's a solid kid, a stand-up kid. He took the benching professionally. I've never seen a benching after 4-2. Probably should have been 5-1. Could have been 6-0, right? I mean, they were
behind.
So
yeah,
they were big. They were behind 21-0 against the Colts. He brought them back, right?
He did.
My sense, and again, he drove them down the field. They were winning 17-13, and then the vaunted defense, $130 million, gives up the winning touchdown to the Cowboys, right? So I don't think he played that badly. Was it great? No, but what you always say is exactly the way I feel. I think he's got a tremendous amount of upside. Unfortunately, we're not going to see it for a full year. And I'm going to be at that game rooting on Fields. And this whole situation with Rodgers as an organization, again, 40-plus years as a Steeler fan, I'm embarrassed for them that they didn't have a plan, that they don't have it thought out. And Starkey said it again yesterday. It goes back 6 years or so. And I agree with him 100%, or as he says, every syllable and a half syllable, right?
So you listen a lot, Seth, I can tell.
What's that?
I said, you listen a lot. You know all
the
verbiage.
You guys are great. All you guys are great. I love all the different takes and different viewpoints. It's food for thought, right? So my problem with this whole thing, Bob, is that they didn't have a plan. They let Fields walk. And then, you know, if you were Russell Wilson, again, I personally never want to see him again in a black and yellow uniform. But again, if he was the fallback, now, you know, is he going to go to the Browns?
You're jeopardizing the fallback, right, is what you're doing. So,
you know, the whole thing is a mess. And I truly believe it would have taken – this deal with Fields should have been done as the season ended. You've said it a bunch of times. You know, if that's your guy, if that's your decision, make your decision, pay him. And now, like you guys have been talking about all week as well, they missed out on some defensive guys, right? Maybe Javon Hargrave could have came back. This is a travesty. And as a longtime fan, I'm sorry to see this, man. But
Seth.
It's just, I
appreciate the take. I'm not going to call any NFL teams can surprise you sometimes. I'll still, you know, look at the Steelers last year. And at the beginning of the season, not many people thought they'd end up in second in their division ahead of the Cincinnati Bengals. Weird things can happen. So I love to watch everything unfold, which is also why I really thought Justin Fields. I'm a patient person when it comes to developing people. A lot of people make conclusions based on what they've seen in Chicago. But for me, what I saw in Chicago was turbulence. Different coordinators, different coaches, different mindsets. As a young player, I think it affects you, you know, and your game planning because you got a lot of stuff being thrown at you. I thought a season under his belt here with what you saw of him, he was a choice. And I believe what you just said, Seth, because I've said it from the beginning, I thought they would have made that decision rather quickly and get it done so that they have a plan going into free agency. So here we are, and that's the situation they've and whether Justin Fields turns out or not, he may not, but he still has the ability in his legs to make some things happen. And I certainly would have featured that a lot more than I think we saw last year in those six games when he was here. 412-928-9370. We have Joe in Orlando going all over the map today. Hello, Joe. How are you? I'm sure the weather's better there than it is here.
It is. I see it's raining at home. Weather's, if I had to guess by looking outside, it's, well, it is completely sunny and probably about 70 at the moment.
Perfect. It was that like yesterday here. All week here has been like that.
Well, I hope I'll be there for opening day, so I'm hoping opening day will be nice. Last year, I think it snowed.
Now, you're going to get to see Paul Skeens on opening day if you're going to go down to, is it Miami? Is that where they open up?
I think. No, I'm going home. I'm coming home.
Oh, you mean for the home opener. Day. Well, then, and who knows if he's going to be on the mound or not. He should be in that series against the Yankees, though. I've said that, too. So, you know, figure it out as best you can. They have a series in between that. I would make sure he is available for that Yankee series.
Well, you know you'll sell out probably opening day. If you pitch the second day, you'd have another sellout. So,
yeah,
it's just something to think about. Listen, in terms of the Steelers, this thing's been years in the making, which, by the way, that young lady that called and said the Wizard of Oz, boy, was that creative. When Ben hung on two or three seasons too long, he never embraced Mason Rudolph. He held that team ransom for 2 to 3 years, and that was the start of this. The other thing is I can't even fathom the people that are in that front office to think that we're going to let somebody like Justin Fields, who, as you just suggested, has a huge upside. He still has years worth of development probably. And then you're going to turn around and get like a 40-some-year-old guy who you have no future with in the next year or two. And the other thing is they're acting as if they're a few steps away from the Super Bowl. They got so many holes. And at the end of the day, will a quarterback stabilize that situation? It will. There's no doubt about that. The problem is they're not going to get anywhere close. What's crazy is a year ago, everybody was, well, we got two great quarterbacks. Everybody was pumped up. They let Kenny Pickett go, only to get back to getting Mason Rudolph back and having no one else.
Right. No, right? I mean, no question, the Pickett situation more than any of them. You could bring in guys you could sign like they did with Trubisky and last year what they did. But when you miss on the draft picks, especially first round, and you have to redraft, it's a hard thing to overcome because most of what you're dealing with in free agency are guys who've had some success but a lot of failure also. So, you know, I don't know. It's a tough position to be in, and right now they're kind of stuck. And, you know, Mike Tomlin always talks about he wants volunteers, not hostages. Right now it seems like they're being held hostage a little bit in this whole Aaron Rodgers situation.
There's no doubt about what's an embarrassing situation. There was a day and age where if somebody offered you to sign with the Steelers, people would jump at the chance because of the culture and the winning. Now we're waiting on guys. It is an embarrassing situation. But here's something I want you to ponder. I am a Kenny Pickett fan, right? And I'm glad he got into Cleveland. You know that's where players go to die. What you have to ask yourself, Kenny's last game as a starter, he threw for almost 300 yards when he opened the offense up. Do I think he's Bradshaw? No, I don't. But if I was going to roll the dice in the situation they were in, I would have much rather had a younger guy who had a record that he progressively gets better when he's in a system with a real offensive coordinator. And that goes back to Mike Tomlin hiring Matt Kenny. He never left the building to get an offensive coordinator. At the end of the day, what the lady said about the Wizard of Oz was spot on. The only difference is, at least in the Wizard of Oz, when they find out there's a guy behind a curtain, he at least tried to give him an explanation and give him some kind of symbolic send-off where they got a heart and a brain. You know what we're going to get? Nothing.
All right, Joe.
Thanks, Bob.
We'll see how it plays out. I always like to watch as things develop here, but they certainly have a situation on their hands that has to be rectified soon. We have a lot of people on the lines. Two Anthonys. We have Mark, Guy, Bob, Rick, Sean. I'll try to roll through those as fast as I can when I come back. You're listening to the Bob Pompeiani Show on a Saturday in Pittsburgh right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Rolling right along on a Saturday, busy day, a lot of stuff going on, although the quarterback situation has hit a stalemate, and we'll see what happens there as the Minnesota Vikings look to maybe be interested. I also want to throw out, again, some other topics there in case you want to opine on these, and Tristan Jarry's resurgence. What would you do with him at the end of the year if this continued? Would you just say he's back, or would you say, we've been fooled before, we will move him? He's played very well in his last three games, and they are in a somewhat of a rebuild based on what they've done. But they also want to continue to try to win. Is he part of the solution? 412-928-9370. Any of you out there who follow Pitt basketball, do you think Pitt should have accepted a postseason bid, as Tom Crean suggests yearly? That teams need to play. Guys who are still around deserve the opportunity, regardless of it. Doesn't have to be something the fans like, but you do it for your team and developmental aspects of that. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Oakland. Anthony is on the line in Oakland. Hello, Anthony. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Bob, and thank you for asking. Bob, I think Pitt should have accepted. I can remember back in the day that when they did go on a outside of NCAA tournament and won it, that's where those Pitt teams of the early 2000s were formed, if you remember.
Sure. I mean, sometimes, especially if you know their guys coming back. Now, you may not know Jalen Lowe may move, who knows. But some of those guys who are there need a little bit of work. They didn't get it throughout the course of the regular season.
Bob, you know, the Steelers right now organization is a mess. You and I watched them play Baltimore. They gave up almost 500 yards rushing, which tells me, who's been watching football since the 60s, you got to shore up the defensive line. The only guy you've got on it who's very competent is in his late 30s. So why are you even dilly-dallying around? You've allowed all these defensive linemen who were free agents. Two of them from San Francisco could have been on your team, and that one from Washington everybody had their eye on. Somehow you don't shore that up. You're worrying about a 41-year-old quarterback, and so you couldn't allot your money the way you needed to be. I mean, they have shown us no ability, and that's why I keep thinking they keep going for these all over the hill quarterback, because Tomlin inherited a quarterback who was ready made and he's yet to develop one.
Yeah, and that's a big part of this whole problem. When you get guys, and I'm still shocked, actually, Anthony. I don't know about you, about the Pickett departure, how quick it happened. I remember at the end of the first year he got a chance to play, how that year ended. You know, the touchdown to Pickens in the Vegas game. All of that stuff. And then I saw the preseason firsthand with Charlie Batch in those games, and I said, man, this guy, I mean, what were you thinking at the time? And I thought that was going to be something that they could certainly springboard into a really successful season, and it never happened.
Because they don't have any Sean McVays or Kevin O'Connors on this club, and they haven't had one. The best coordinator they ever had, let's be clear, wasn't B.A.
Todd Haley.
It was Todd Haley.
B.A. was pretty good, though. I like B.A. and I like what, but Todd Haley was really good, I thought.
Of course, they Bob, in the Todd Haley era, you were not concerned of a deficit with the Steelers because you knew they could come back. And, you know, and they beat some great teams. You remember they beat the world champion 2015 Denver Broncos, and they were down 27-7.
That's
so,
right.
So, I mean, my problem with this is, look, Tomlin, quit this putting a straitjacket on your quarterback. When Mason had to win you those three games to get in to make the playoffs, you didn't say, let's play run first. You opened it up. When everyone thought you were going to play run first, you hit a slant to Pickens, and that opened that whole three-game series up.
Absolutely.
So get aggressive.
And I think Mason in the pocket, no, I think Mason in the pocket is somebody I like watching because he's willing to take a hit. He's taken many hits to move up and deliver on, and he did it in that Seattle game. He did it in a few of those games.
Yes.
So I don't mind Mason Rudolph being back. A lot of people have mixed reactions to it. At this point, what does it hurt?
But Bob, you have no other choice. You can't spend 2 years, $90 million over an over-the-hill quarterback. We don't want to see running back Wilson again. We saw that nightmare. Give it to Mason, keep the two wide receivers you got, because that's going to open everything up. Mm-hmm. Draft you a running back in the later rounds, and get the defensive lineman in the draft. Find a quarterback in the fourth or fifth round to help out. But you better build up that defensive line, because what we saw from the Ravens, almost 600 yards rushing in two games, was a disgrace.
No question. Thanks, Bob. Anthony. I appreciate it. And that's a problem that's often overlooked with the talk of the quarterbacks. Sat here for weeks now, all we talk about is quarterbacks, but they do have to shore up what they've done on defense. Let's go to one other Anthony in South Hills, actually. Anthony in South Hills, can you make a quick please as I'm up against a break?
Sure thing. Big fan of yours, Bob.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, like, I think the Steelers are lacking an adult in the room. Like, if somebody has got to come down to reality and realize that this team isn't built to compete this year. They haven't been built to compete the last few years, and we're stuck in this quarterback drama. In my opinion, these guys don't move the needle. We're fighting for scraps, being held hostage. Where is somebody at with a voice of reason that says, look, we're not there. We proved that last year. We're built to beat bad teams playing bad football. When we go up against a good team, we get whooped. Like, it played out exactly that way last year.
Anthony, let me ask you something. If you were in charge here, how would you address what the situation that exists right now? You have Rodgers on hold. Who knows how long that's going to take? I would end that sooner rather than later. If he doesn't want to do it, I would just move on. And I'd figure out someone else to bring in here, roll the dice, and look into the draft. And if I found I could be in a position to be aggressive, if I don't know if the right answer is Jackson Dart. I don't know if any of those guys are the right answer. What would you do with a quarterback situation? Would you do it this year? Would you wait till next year? How would you handle that?
I think I would roll this year, honestly, with Mason. I know you've got to bring somebody else in, that can sit behind him. But, I mean, he saved their butts a couple of years ago. He can do enough. And then you see what happens. You spend the rest of your money shoring up the D-line, bringing in some other pieces, set yourself up to be in a good position next year, and then you draft your guy. You've got extra draft picks. You can move up.
Yeah, you package him, move up a little bit, you can at least be aggressive more so than this year, I think, because you don't have much to offer people beyond the second round. But, Anthony, thanks for the call, man. I got to run. I appreciate it, and look forward to talking to you again. Bob's in New York, Guy's in the car, Mark's in Shaler. We have Uniontown represented here. We got a lot of people want to talk. We'll do it as we continue right here. It's the Bob Pompiani Show on a Saturday.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets.
The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We have a line shift and a line change coming up. Joel Nelson skates in. Logan Armblaster is out. Thanks, Logan. Hello, Joel. How are you doing today? Joel is one of those guys who appreciates what he sees in the NBA, too. And I was interested last night, Joel, in watching the Lakers game. They played without their two best players, and LeBron James and Luka Doncic, and almost won. What about Connect? He was connecting.
That's right. Him and Austin Reeves, they are really good options when the Lakers don't have LeBron and Luka going.
Austin Reeves has really turned out to be quite a player, and it's good to see for him because a lot of people at the beginning didn't think he would be, but he has been a big – he's got a great aggressive attitude out there too, very confident in what he does. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Talking a lot of, you can imagine, about the Steelers. I'm sure that will continue. But Paul Skeens did get word today that he is the opening day starter. I'm just wondering how that works with regard to the home opener when the Yankees come to town. If he starts in game one down there, he'll probably pitch in the second series. And then hopefully they can figure out a way to get him on Sunday in the Yankee series. But I think that's important for them. Also, very encouraging spring for Bubba Chandler. Two perfect innings yesterday against the Phillies. Four strikeouts. He hit 100. He's ranked 7th in Baseball America. He's also a guy who faced 4 of the top 5 Phillies prospects and made him look silly, quite frankly. So who knows? Maybe he could take the same kind of direction that Skeens did and get up here sometime sooner rather than later and add to this rotation. Also, the Penguins today. New Jersey comes to town 3:08. Tristan Jarry's been hot. What do you make of that? Call me and air your opinions. Right here, you can hit me up on Twitter. Also, it's at KD Pump. Right now, back to the lines we go. And we'll begin this time with Guy in the car. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking the call.
What's up?
Hey, I wanted to address the Steelers' offensive line. I haven't heard anything about that. I know Dan Moore lost in free agency, and Brody Jones is kind of iffy. I'm not too comfortable with that offensive line. And, of course, you know, if you want to go far, you need a good offensive line. That's proved in the Eagles. And that's why I'm just concerned of what the Steelers are addressing as far as their offensive line.
In the draft, I imagine they will. I'm sure they'll sign somebody to come in for depth because they really don't have. They lost James Daniels in free agency as well as Dan Moore. Listen, I'm happy for Dan Moore. He's a really nice guy, works hard, was a fourth-round pick, and never gave up his position despite challenges that he had. And he ends up getting a deal that I never thought would be possible, quite frankly. I'm happy for him, but I can't believe that Tennessee gave him $82 million. That seems crazy to me. But they're going to hope that Broderick Jones in his natural position will solidify that. And then you have Troy Fautanu coming off a year injury, so he's essentially a rookie over there. And you have a couple of other second-year players. McCormick's going to take over a guard. He looked pretty good and worthy of that position. And then Zach Frazier was outstanding. So, but they need help on the depth part of that because their injuries that always happen. 2 years ago was an aberration. They went through, and I didn't think they had an injury all season long. And then last year, three guys are out before the season ever starts. So you know you're going to get that.
Yes, that's for sure. Yeah, I was just concerned because I don't know what their depth is like, but I know with that guy they picked last year in the first round. He's coming off an injury. He might have lost a step for all I know. I don't know how his performance is going to be.
I think he's going to be good. I mean, he's a high-end kind of guy from what we saw when he played in college. Hopefully he can, and they need him to, quite frankly. If they struggle on the tackle positions, that could be also a consideration with quarterback here right now, too. When you have a guy, if you bring in Rodgers, he can't move. And if they get pressure on him, then that's not a good situation to have. So there are a lot of things that they need to fix, and we'll see what they do in the rest of free agency and the draft. But thanks, Guy. Appreciate the call, man.
Thanks.
All right. Moving right along, we have Mark in Shaler. Hello, Mark. What's going on?
Pump. I love, by the way, part-time pump during the week.
Yeah,
I love when you go toe-to-toe.
That's all it's going
to
be, part-time pump, because I got other things to do. I don't have enough time to do that.
It's great. So, first of all, I think Pitt should have played the NIT. Having sons who played college sports, getting any, there's so much more involved than just, their pride or whatever. Any action that you can get at the next level is, in my opinion, is huge.
Especially those guys are going to be coming back who remain, most likely.
Right. Justin Fields, I got to chime in on this. I don't think anybody reads the text that I send to the show because I've never heard one read on air. But
this is your time.
If they wanted him, they would have signed him. Period. They would have given him the money.
But they offered him. If they offered him, don't you think
they offered him is what they felt like they wanted to give him. They're not cheap. They just paid massive dollars for the best.
No, I know they're not cheap. But why wouldn't you go a little higher there? Or at least, do you think there was ever a chance?
They don't want him. Because they didn't really want Bob. I mean, they would have played him if they wanted him.
Well, what was plan B there?
What has he won?
What was plan B?
12 games in 4 years.
I look at upside potential, Mark. That's all. I think there's more there. I do.
I think maybe if he hadn't played 3 years where he won nothing.
But didn't you? That was a turbulent 3 years in Chicago, wasn't it? Because he had all sorts of different coordinators every year, new coaches, instability. I think that affects a young quarterback. I do.
Well, sounds like somebody else that we know that everybody wanted to get rid of, Kenny Pickett, right? Couple different coordinators, a really bad one. I agree with you that I felt like they let him go way too soon. And so, one more point. You know, whatever happened to, being in the same system more than a year, right? Getting more comfortable, getting better. Everybody wants to boot Russell Wilson out of town. You know, who did he have to throw to last year? A spoiled receiver who didn't want to catch the ball. No offensive line to speak of. But whatever happened, here's another year in this system. Right, he's probably going to be better than he was last year, in my opinion.
They certainly missed out on a second legitimate receiver, which is why they made the Metcalf deal, which makes me wonder what's going to happen with Pickens. I still think he ultimately won't be here, but if he is,
I agree, Bob.
He has to understand what he's doing and understand what's at stake for him. So I would expect, and people, I don't know about you, Mark, but some people say, well, with Metcalf, he's never going to get the targets. He may not get as many as Metcalf, but I think because of Metcalf, he will get more targets than you think.
Oh, absolutely. Both of those guys are going to be 20-touchdown guys. Absolutely no doubt about it. And lastly, Mason Rudolph, he's a backup, okay? So I know everybody wants to feel like he's like the next answer. He's a backup.
I don't think people look at him as an answer, but he's someone who they know, they believe that can go in and, you know, whether it's, generally backup insurance policy, but if he has to start, I think they would be comfortable for a year knowing that they're going to draft a quarterback here soon. They have to.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to watch guys pass from the pocket. I grew up in New England watching Steve Grogan. I mean, that was awesome. And then Drew Bledsoe after that, who was pure pocket passer, right?
Yep.
I think, you know, that's why I love what's his name? Cleveland, then Indy, drawing a blank.
Flacco.
The other, Flacco. I think Flacco would be a phenomenal guy to bring in here. Obviously, we have no protection for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, with these receivers, those guys are really fun to watch. But anyway, Bob, listen, I totally appreciate the time.
All right, man.
Thanks for letting me get that off my chest.
I'm glad you got through. It didn't happen on the text line, but we got you on there. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Daryl down in Houston, Texas. And Houston has some interesting developments on their football team as well. What's up, Daryl? How are you?
They are, Bob. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, they're doing some things down here. You know, obviously with the we're letting Bobby Slowick go, that was kind of a surprise. But hey, you know what they do? They recognize they have an issue, or at least they think it's an issue, they address it. That's what you have to do as an organization. But the Pittsburgh Steelers, they don't do that because they have an overinflated opinion of themselves. They think they're the Steelers, in air quotes, of old. You're not. And in terms of what the last caller said with Justin Fields, they overplayed, the Steelers overplayed their hand because they got an overinflated ego of themselves. We're just going to throw you a bone because we're the Steelers and you're going to come. No, that's not happening anymore, people. All this, behind the curtain, the Pittsburgh Steelers mystique is just that. It's like the Loch Ness Monster. It's like Bigfoot. It's like Yeti. That's not there anymore. And one thing that I wanted to touch base on, and Anthony pretty much said that, well, you know, he addressed it, was the player development. They don't have player development. They just don't have the coaching to have player development. And one other thing, Bob, I don't think that's talked as much as – it's not addressed as much as it should be. I don't know how you're in a position for 18 years and you have no one that you have moved forward in terms of their coaching career, in terms of a promotion. No one. That fascinates me, because in leadership, the first thing they ask you, or one of the things they ask you when you're going for an interview, how do you promote your team? How do you promote opportunities? What have you done to put your team in a position to move on and be better? Because that's what they look for. How are you building your team and moving them forward? With Tomlin, right.
It's a legitimate criticism about how he's handled his staff. Matt Cannon, I was here too long. As soon as he was hired, there were questions about not having NFL experience, and then he doubled down, and he was here for 2.5 years before finally it was, I think, mandated that he has to go.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I agree with that. I think you need to go out and enhance a coaching staff and try to get the best minds out there. The Ben Johnson hiring in Detroit, or from Detroit, I should say, to Chicago, that's a guy who was... Uh-oh, hang on. I forgot the rookie mistake.
No worries, Bob. We know you're
busy. No, I forgot to turn
the ring. Hey, Bob, I have one more point before you. I'm going to let you, you can finish, but I need to ask you one more question and go from there.
Go ahead.
Okay. So we talked about, another thing that needs to be dismissed is that it's automatically assumed that the quarterback group for next year is going to be better than this one. I don't know if that's going to be the case. Let's not bank on that.
Well, that is a subjective thing, but I will say to you that potentially it could be. No one knows for sure.
The waiting that is being raised is based on Manning. And there's no indication that Arch Manning is coming out.
He's just a name at this point.
Exactly. And he hasn't even played a whole lot to be able to be evaluated as a top draft choice. But let me move on to this last one, Bob.
Yeah, make it quick, please, Darryl.
Real quick. Would you trust this regime with developing players? That's what Anthony was talking about.
I'm glad they have a quarterback coach, because they hadn't for many years, and they stopped. And I think he's a pretty talented kid. So we'll see what he does with any of these guys. He need time to do it. That's another reason why I wanted Fields back, because I think he could have extracted a little bit more from him. But anyway, Darryl, thanks. I got to run along.
Thanks, Bob.
You too. Thank you. From Houston, Texas, we go to Sean in the car somewhere in Pittsburgh. Hey, Sean, what's up? Sean, are you there? Apparently not. Okay, Sean, we're going to move on to Rick, right above you in the lineup here, as Joel Nelson's put it together. What's up, Rick?
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, about a month or so ago, Ray Fittipaldo had a couple articles in the Post-Gazette Sunday about the Steelers, about how they have the smallest coaching staff in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said they have 15, while other teams like Kansas City of them have around 20 some, about 20. And also, he wrote an article about how bad the facilities for Pittsburgh, they're ranked 28th in the NFL.
Well, players are spoiled about what they want, and some of that had to do with food, which I totally disagree with. I think the Steelers are going to upgrade everything over there. I think there's a plan in place for that, Rick, so thank you. But I mean, as far as the coaching staff, we've talked about this over and over again. You don't need to have 50 guys on your coaching staff. You need to have quality, not necessarily quantity. That's what they should be shooting for. More guys who are, who think a little bit differently than maybe the current thought process is over there when it comes to especially offense. That's what I would like. And listen, I understand, Rick, that running the ball is very effective. It can do a lot of things for you, and I'm not against that at all. And if you have two guys like Metcalf and Pickens, say they're both here, and they go down the field and take defenders with them, and it helps the run game, should have quarterback mobility if you have mobility. But all of that works together. But you also have to have vision about creative ways of getting guys open. It's not just running straight down the field. Come up with plays that make sense, using middle of the field.
Well, who is the Steelers quarterback coach?
Tom Arth. I like him. I think he's a good dude.
Okay, I thought they still had Mike Sullivan.
Well, he's there, but he's not in that role. That's what I mean. Yeah. They have a lot of offensive people. Thanks, Rick, because I got to go to a break here. But I appreciate the call. He's a new guy. I think he has, to me anyway, it looks like he is a guy I would think could help their quarterback play, which is why, again, I keep going back to where my plan going is, for those of you who didn't hear, I thought they would sign Fields early in that preseason. The offseason, before it ever got to free agency, get that all taken care of. If you wanted to add on Rudolph, you could have got all that done and then used the rest of free agency monies on other positions, thinking that next year would be my year to draft a quarterback. Even if Justin Fields played well, I still would draft another quarterback. I would keep doing that if I felt the need to do it, but I would have taken my shots with him. Now, that obviously has come and gone, and so now we sit and wait to see what else is part of the quarterback puzzle. I think it's a fascinating conversation. I know a lot of people are inspired about it, and we'll continue talking about it until it happens, I suppose. At 412-928-9370. Got to take a break. A bunch more calls coming up until 1 o'clock when the Pirates and the Orioles play right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Little program reminder to you, every Sunday night we present the number one Cochran Sports Showdown, and tomorrow will be Selection Sunday Showdown. Amid all this other stuff we're talking about forever, it seems. But we'll talk about Robert Morris. Cassidy Wood from our station will be there at their watch party. Let's find out where they're going to be. Also, St. Francis, Pennsylvania, they get in on it. And Duke, Cooper Flagg probably won't play tonight, it looks like, against Louisville in their ACC championship game. But he is a big part of what they do. They should be a number one seeded team regardless of what happens tonight. So they need him in the tournament, you know, so that's the bottom line. It should be a very wide open tournament. A lot of very good teams involved, like Auburn, who not many people think about. It's not your blue blood, but it's a team that's really been playing good basketball. All right, 412-928-9370. Rob in Turtle Creek kicks us off this segment. Hello, Rob. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Bob. Hey, speaking of college basketball, that's what I wanted to talk about. Couple things. Since you just mentioned it before I forget about it, is there any more of an example than the NIL having a giant impact on basketball than Louisville? I mean, they were worse for like 3 years, and then now they're battling for the ACC championship.
They were like 8-23 last year, and they've turned it completely around with a new coach who brought a couple of guys from Charleston over, his own transfers, and he went out and they bought some players, and now they're turning. They could very well win this game.
Yeah, they bought that 3-point shooter. I mean, he was unreal. Whenever last time Pitt played Louisville, he reminded me of last year with Pitt. You know, whenever what's his name couldn't miss a three. So, but anyhow, what I really called about was the NIT, and I'm wondering how long it's going to be. This is just an idea I had since the NIL was came into play. How long do you think that the NCAA tournament's going to last? Because what I see happening possibly is some big money coming in for some sponsorships, and almost like they do with the bowls, somebody coming in and saying, "Hey, we're going to lure these teams away. We're going to make the NIT the big go-to, and we're going to pay these people, enormous amounts of money to come play."
Yeah. That's a good question. Everything is so fluid right now in all of college sports. I'm not sure how long that goes on. I think some of these other lesser tournaments are going to disappear one by one.
Well, I think, they might disappear, but one of them might come rise to the top and say, "Yeah, here, NCAA, we're paying players now. Here, watch this."
Yeah, I mean, it could be. How do you feel about Pitt not playing? Yes or no? You think they should have accepted an invitation?
Oh, yeah. I think it's good that they're not. I mean, let's face it. If they're not getting paid,
yeah, but there are some guys on their team. Most of them are not making the kind of money that you hear the top dollars. And some of them are going to be back next year. I understand both sides of that argument.
If they had the opportunity, just like in the bowl games, if the guys that are the top recruits say, "You know what, I don't want to play, but maybe these other guys can develop." If they were allowed to do that and say, "I'm not going to play, but here, take your – take the guys that are the walk-ons."
Right, you could opt out, do whatever. But whoever's on that team who wants to play, you just play. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate the call.
Yep.
At 412-928-9370. We're going out to Guy in California right here on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Guy, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you, Bob. Hey, listen, I want to talk about the Penguins' garage sale of players. But before I do, boy, this year, Jari's certainly been a gift that keeps on giving. He loses when you need him to win, and he wins when you need him to lose. But as far as the trade deadline, I was listening to you and Starkey last week, and he was saying, "Well, why don't they trade Crosby?" I mean, is he nuts? I mean, draft picks in hockey are not the same as draft picks.
I don't think anyone mentioned traded Crosby. He never said that. I think we were talking about other guys who could have been, probably Ricard Raquel, who's top on the list, but he does offer a nice salary for the next 3 years that's going to be below what I think guys like him will make moving forward.
With that, I agree with you because you need that leadership because it's important to keep Crosby. Otherwise, this team could be in a no man's land for a half dozen years. And, you know, look at Chicago's Connor Bedard, 19 years old. The kid's just left out there to float, and Chicago looks like a team totally lost.
Yeah, they did bad thing. They haven't surrounded him with enough players, and he's taken a beating, and I think confidence has shown it's lacking. There are a lot of things that could go wrong if you don't have a support cast. I get that, but we'll see. I still think they could have made a few more moves. My point to you, what would you do with Jarry? At the end of this year, say that he continues this good play all the way until the end.
I would, ask him maybe have a long-term injury or something. You know, it's, I don't know how you're going to get around that. It's you're going to have to trade him and pay part of his contract. But, you know, maybe he'll turn it around. Maybe that's what he needed is trip out there.
Maybe so, but we've seen though, when it gets, you know, the rubber meets the road, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, then his performance normally doesn't go to the level you need it to go. But if they're willing to believe that he's changed and he's back to where they saw him as a two-time All-Star a couple years ago, then maybe they just keep him. But again, there's a lot of money invested there. And if they had, I think, automatic answers coming up, whether that's Miroslav, the Russian kid who's playing well, they moved him from Wheeling to Wilkes-Barre, or Blomqvist, or if they believe those guys could come in next year and play right off the bat, maybe they do that. But I don't know if they believe that yet. Maybe they don't know. But we'll see.
And just to finish up what I thought real quick, you know, the reason why you need to keep Crosby for a while is because you need that leadership on the team. You know, despite getting Lemieux in 84, the 80s were a lost decade for the Penguins. They didn't make the playoffs until the 90-91 season. And the most important thing, I think, for Lemieux's career that happened was getting Paul Coffey in the 87 November of 87, because he brought both leadership and a culture of winning. We think, you know, obviously Lemieux is a great leader now, but when he was at the Penguins, the team was a losing franchise at the time, and Coffey kind of changed that whole gear. And you got to remember, 1989-90 season, the Pens missed the playoffs by only one game, because and Lemieux had been out. The quarter of the season.
He was out in Los Angeles getting back treatment. Thanks, Guy, for the call. Interesting memories. And then he came back, played in that last game. I think it was against Buffalo, and they lost in overtime. But, yeah, all those things are necessary if you're going to make a team. You got to have the experienced leadership, but you also have youth. You need more young players to come up. And hopefully, in time, they develop some of those guys in their system because they have a lot of picks now. And it's upon Kyle Dubas to make sure those turn into players. Bob in New York, I know you've been waiting quite a while. Sorry about that, but I appreciate your patience. You're up next right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. What's up?
How you doing, Bob?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad, thank you. Bob, I read an article the other day where Najee criticized the training facilities at Acrisure. And it's not the first time I've heard about that. You would think that the owner and the general manager would take a little bit more pride in providing the appropriate facilities for their players. They just spent $150 million on DK, which I obviously supported. You mean to tell me they can't invest to get their players the best facilities? And you would think some of the veterans would go to Rooney and say, you need to do something about what you're providing us with because it's not top quality.
Well, first of all, have you been in there to see it?
I have not.
Okay, well, I think it's good enough. I know that they're going to try to improve it. In fact, they have plans to do it. But it's like anything else that you have. After a while, it needs to be upgraded. When they first moved in that facility, I mean, it was a lavish facility that people love to see. Yeah, it could be better, but all these players get spoiled, I think, too. And the fact that they come here, they're making millions of dollars, and they complain about everything, including the food over there, please, don't go down that that area is ridiculous. They do the best. I think their food service over there is incredible. And I also think players are spoiled. They see what other colleges have, all this endowment money they're using, and they're building it up because you have to recruit these guys for NIL. Just, you know, believe me, it's not that bad. Those players make it out to be worse than it is. It does need to be upgraded like anything else. Like if you have a house, and you need upgraded roof, furniture inside, whether it's a new kitchen, yeah, time comes where you have to make those adjustments. But I think players, too much, Bob, are spoiled and expect all this stuff to be handed to them when they're making all sorts of money here. And the accommodations, in my view, are still good enough.
Well, you know, I also haven't tasted the food, Bob. So if you could sneak a sandwich out for me.
Oh, I could do better than that. They have all sorts of good stuff over there. But we're very fortunate they allow us when we're over there to work to take care of that. So that's why I know it's good.
One more thing, Bob. You were talking to another caller earlier about next year's draft being in Pittsburgh and a quarterback. Wouldn't it be great to have, you know, the commissioner go up there and announce our franchise quarterback of the future in Pittsburgh? That would be awesome.
Yes, that's what I thought was going to happen. It still might happen, Bob. Depending on what they do in this draft, they may not be in a position to get somebody this year. Maybe they will. They're probably going to draft a quarterback at some point, but if they do in the middle rounds, it won't be their future franchise quarterback. So this is a pick you'll see them draft a few times, I would imagine, in the next couple of years. But
hey,
next year would
course,
be the
Bob.
Yeah. All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye now.
Okay, have a good day. Bob in New York. 412-928-9370. One more call before we go to a break. That would be Jim in the North Hills. Hello, Jim.
How you doing, Bob?
What's up? Jim?
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering, that contract for Metcalf, is that fully guaranteed?
No, but a good portion of it is. I forget what the numbers are. Is it $90 million? Something like that. I don't know what the guarantee is, but it's up there. Any of these contracts that you get.
Huh?
No, I don't know. I mean, you can make your conclusions about Fields. They offered, which means I thought they wanted him, but they allowed him to get to free agency, which tells me maybe there's a part of me that they didn't want him. But I would have wanted him. And again, he may not be my long-term answer. I thought he was a short-term answer that could have led me to my long-term answer. And in the process, when you have a 26-year-old guy, 25, whatever he is, he has upside potential. Whereas any of these other guys you're bringing in now at age 41 or 38 or whatever, they're not going to have much upside potential. You never know what you're going to get with a guy like that. He may blossom right before your eyes in the pass game. You know what his athletic ability is, and that's why I thought that was the play they'd make.
Yeah, you're 100% Bob. All right, Bob. Okay, thanks, Bob.
All right, man. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the call. We got to take a break here. One more section before we go, and then Austin Bechtold will be here coming up. That's at 1 o'clock. Pirates will play the Orioles, but it's not on radio, from what I understand, on Sportsnet Pittsburgh. And we'll see what they're doing. And closer to opening day, where Paul Skeens was announced the starter for opening, and that's significant. You knew it was going to happen. But for him, it's his first ever opening day start. 412-928-9370, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. With Joel Nelson behind the glass, Bob Pompiani here until 1 o'clock. Austin Bechtold takes over after that. It's 412-928-9370. Once again, thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Number one Cochran. Go one better. Drive in style with number one Cochran and 9 Yards Golf Lounge down there in Washington, Pennsylvania. They got a good St. Patrick's Day competition going on there today. Stop in. Check it out. If you like simulated golf, really good facility down there. 412-928-9370. I got lots of tweets here, and one of them was about off-season assessment. Jerry wants to know, what do you think NFL teams who made out the best in the offseason? Well, I mean, the Steelers have brought in a few guys, but I wouldn't classify them as, you know, major acquisitions. I do think, however, when I look at the Metcalf thing, I like that. That's the biggest part so far. And the next domino to fall is the quarterback. We'll see how that goes. In the meantime, the Vikings, to me, really did well in the offseason, which is why Aaron Rodgers is probably thinking about them. But they have J.J. McCarthy. Are they going to ride with him or not? He missed all of last year. That's where Sam Darnold came in and made a splash. Got it paid because of it. But if Aaron Rodgers goes there, he will have a much improved offensive line. They added a couple of guys who were really good in free agency. They also took care of their defensive line for Brian Flores with Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave. And that was a weakness for them. You saw that in the games, as you know, in the playoffs. You also saw their offensive line allow too much pressure on Darnold and too many sacks were allowed. So they fixed both of those. They signed Byron Murphy, who had 9 interceptions the last couple of years. They did a good job. So did the Bears. I would put the Bears up there because I think they overhauled their offensive line with a plan in place, you know, for Caleb Williams. 412-928-9370. Brian in Brookline. is up right now. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hey, Bob. This you touched on all the points. You and Starkey did a great job. I don't want Aaron Rodgers. He's toxic. I mean, he's a statue. Yes, he can play, but look what he's doing now. And yes, he still can play, but there's two things that I think the Steelers thought about this, but why not trade for a quarterback like Joe Burrow's backup or somebody else like that? I mean, what's against that? I mean, they had to be reaching out to teams if they want to look at backup quarterbacks. Jameis Winston is a turnover machine. We don't need him.
Well, there's some guys on the free agent market that, you know, I thought, given all that we've seen here with this quarterback, I thought maybe there was something in play for J.J. McCarthy last year at some point. If the Steelers could have figured out, you know, he was out for the year, they had Darnold, but this is before they let Darnold go to free agency. If they had signed Darnold, if they really were interested, I would have looked there as a potential guy to bring in here and start. So the Rodgers thing, I don't know what that means. If he's waiting for the Vikings to call him, it must be to be a starter. But they have a young quarterback who I think they believe in. So I don't know, again, how long this takes or where it goes. But if I were the Steelers, I'd give him a deadline and say, look, we got to move on. Yes or no?
Absolutely. And J.J. McCarthy, I don't know if he's going to be healthy. So that's why I think he's going to end up going with the Vikings, because I think they want him to learn for at least a half a year maybe, or all year behind Rodgers like Love did. But if I was the Steelers, if we've got to ride with Rudolph, I mean, he's a little bit mobile. I mean, then we got to ride with Rudolph. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, I would do that. I'd bring in somebody else. I would draft someone in the middle of rounds if it's not the first. I know that if they have an opportunity, if there's someone on their board, and no one knows the answer to this, that they feel if Jackson Dart's the guy, and again, first round is a little bit of a stretch for me, but let's say it is. If they want to do that, fine. But most likely it's going to be a middle round guy just to put on your roster. But next year you can still redraft the same position. It is the most important position in football, which is why we're talking about it here endlessly for the last 2 months, and it'll go on forever.
Small question. It's the silliest question. You're going to laugh at me. Do you think Ben would actually come back?
No. No. I think that was a nice little tweet he put out there in social media, but no. I mean, at least I don't think so. He's 43. He hasn't played. He has some kids who are very active in golf and other sports, so no. I don't think so.
All right, Paul,
plus, he's doing a pretty good podcast. I like the podcast. It's growing quite a bit. So
yes, I do.
I never thought they would go this deep with that, but he has. He has a good guy there in Spence, Tayo, to take care of everything. Thanks very much, Brian, for the call. Let's go to Sean in the car. Sean in the car, you're on. Hello, Sean. Okay, Sean. I appreciate you guys hanging on as long as you have, but
okay.
You're on now? Okay. Thanks. I know you were on for a lot of guys. We had a lot of calls, so I appreciate that, but at the bad part of it, some people are on the line for a long time, and I wish I could change that. But go ahead, Sean.
Okay, can you hear me okay? Yeah. I have a headset on.
Go ahead.
Okay, just want to make a couple of comments, you know, about the quarterback situation with our beloved Steelers. And I think, myself, I would have definitely worked out a deal and kept our backup quarterback and got rid of Wilson. I mean, that guy is so athletic. No one's ever really worked with him about his shortcomings, which is that soft dime ball. He had everything else. He's also got the legs. So with two wide receivers now, not to mention a good tight end, you put those guys on long routes down the middle, down the sidelines, he's got 30 yards looking in front of him.
Yeah.
That's about all I got for you. I think they should have kept Fields.
Yeah,
I will say this. I'm happy about Rudolph. I always thought that guy wasn't given enough training to go along with his natural ability, but the guy was a real stealer, I thought. He was tough as nails in those last three games that he played.
Yeah, I have no problem with him being back here. I would have liked the Fields and Rudolph combination for now and somebody they draft. That's the way I would have thought about this. But, you know, Fields, for all the, you know, and the problem you mentioned, Sean, thank you for the call, is that his accuracy down the field and decision-making has been in question. And fine. But we've been around sports a lot, right? All of us who follow it. You've seen guys mature at different times. You've seen guys blossom in different times. And I don't predict a full-fledged blossom so that Fields is, you know, an MVP candidate. What I'm saying is he could have shown some growth in the pass game. He could have shown his ability to be more decisive with another year in the same system. So now it is he's going to a whole new system again. I hope he does well. But you know, they recognize the talent there. I really thought the Steelers were going to end up with him first. Rob in O'Hara Township is up next. Hey, Rob, what's up?
Hey, thank you, Bob. I got a few quick points. Sometimes the best deal you make is the one you never make. Say goodbye to Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Six non-franchise quarterbacks that I know of have won Super Bowls, okay? Trade T.J. Watt for picks. Let's see what Herbert can do, and tell Watt about the Ralph Kiner story. I think the offensive line is going to do a lot better with a pocket passer. It's time to get Darnell Washington on the field all the time as the tight end and let him do the chip blocking. And let's run Freiermuth out of the slot and in motion. Well, one thing I think we're going to find out this year is we're going to see if about Artie Smith. He can't keep putting the square peg in the round hole.
Yeah, a lot of I agree with that. Thanks, Rob. I totally agree that more pressure is going to be on him. I think there are more options available with a guy like Fields than there would be with anyone else. But yeah, I'm really not inclined to go older in quarterback. This is where they are right now. But again, I think this quarterback situation will play out in the next 2 years, and you'll see somebody that they identify as the guy they want to be their next franchise quarterback, and quite simply, they have to hit on it. Before we go, let's squeeze in Joe. I know, Joe, you've been waiting for a long time too, but that's I appreciate that, but that's the problem when you have so many callers. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, Bob, no big deal there. But one thing I want to say, my thing's going to be about Rooney, but the National, I listen to a lot of things, Colin Coward and all that, and they're really putting a negative on the Steelers anymore. One guy yesterday, he says the Steelers are satisfied with 9-8, 10-7, and maybe go to a playoff. They don't think
I don't think that's the case. You can say that. I know
but what
those
do
guys.
You think, Bob?
I just think they're making bad decisions. I don't think they're
then innocent. Get rid of the bad decisions.
Well, that's a whole different topic.
Rooney isn't running his
you make
his
it sound like
properly.
They're going in here thinking it's not a pirate situation where he's content with making money. Money's big, but they also want to win. I never doubted that.
Okay, isn't it time? I know you have to do what you have to do. But 18 years is stale. I mean, Tomlin,
totally.
He moves on. He's in 1 hour, he'll go somewhere else. That's what's needed. They needed a whole new thing here. This is going to go on and on and on.
They haven't changed. He's got an extension, and that's what you're dealing
with. That's what's terrible. Rooney, his dad won't hold up. He'd say, it's time, Tomlin, to get off the pot.
You might be right. I'm just saying. And thanks, Joe. I'm up against the break. We got another show to get into, plus some commercials. So, yeah. I never doubted their want to win. They're making decisions that are making that tougher to do. That's the problem. They got to make better decisions, whether it's coaching staff decisions, whether it's player decisions, whether it's developing player decisions. All of that rolls into this. And now they've boxed themselves into a little bit of a corner here, and they have to get out of it. So we'll see what they do in this year's draft and next year's draft. And in the meantime, see what happens with them. But there's not going to be a change. They've made that clear. So you deal with what you deal with. You analyze what you can. And I think the decisions that have been made over the years, specifically with quarterback, have put them in this position. They've missed. They've missed on who they've signed. They missed on a number one pick. And now they're in a situation where they got to dig out from it. It's difficult to do, but it's the challenge at hand. And a lot of teams have gone through it, so we'll see. It's going to be very interesting the rest of this offseason once this quarterback decision is figured out and then as they get into the season. But as always, I appreciate all the calls and feedback. Thank you for doing it. Austin will be up next. He'll take you. For how many hours is he going to be on? Austin, are you back there? Is it 4 hours? 1 to 5?
One through five.
1 through 5. We got the Penguins at 3:08 today. The Pirates play today. Opening day will be coming at you, and Paul Skeens, in case you missed it, was named starter. No surprise, except it's his first time as an opening day starter, as he wasn't here last year for that distinction. So that's going to do it. Join us tomorrow night, number one Cochran Sports Showdown, KDK-TV. That's 11:35 at night. Andrew Filippone, along with Chris Adansky, and I believe Joe Starkey will be on that program. And we do the nightly sports call every night, brought to you by Ireland Contracting. That's 10:35 on KDK+, and on most nights right here on 93.7 The Fan. That's going to do it. Thank you to all who called. Those who didn't get through, I appreciate your trying. Hopefully we'll do it again next week. So thanks to Joel Nelson as well. Have a great Saturday and Sunday, and we'll see you Monday on the Pomp and Joe Show. Have a good one.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.